And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us then here in the quietness of our hearts. Amen. It only took 19 minutes. 19 minutes and five bidders trying to outbid each other before the final price was given of $450.3 million. This was not any ordinary event. This was the biggest sale in some kind of art auction history. And it was all in the news this past week, where when Leonardo da Vinci's painting Salvator Mundi, after 19 minutes and five bidders competing with each other, most of them anonymous over the phone, and somebody finally gave the final bid, the winning bid, of $450.3 million. And article after article and news story were coming out about this huge event. And the thing that made the event so huge were all the numbers that were flying around. This many millions of dollars, that many millions of dollars, the number of people competing with those millions of dollars to try to acquire this great and wonderful treasure. And yet, in all of these articles, so often in many of them and in the news stories, there was only one little mention of what the fuss was all about, what the wealth was all about. And that was the subject of the painting, Salvator Mundi, the Savior of the world. The painting was a depiction of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet the news and the attention was all around the wealth, all around the money, all around these things that we could see and that we could touch. But the real story, the real value, was not even in, for us, is not even that Leonardo da Vinci painted that image. The value is that is about who the subject is, the Savior of the world. That is what we need to remember. That is what matters in the end of the story. In today's passage from Deuteronomy, we hear a similar dynamic happening. Moses is giving the people, the Israelites, instructions of how they are to live when they enter the promised land. And Moses outlines for them what's going to happen, how glorious it's going to be. Most of today's passage probably made some of us hungry as we hear about the honey and the pomegranates and the olive oil and the abundance of agriculture, the abundance of the wheat and the bread and being able to eat all that we need and having fine houses living in them. God is saying through Moses, this is what awaits you. But don't forget what matters. Don't get so caught up in the numbers and in the wealth and in the abundance of things that you forget that this is all about what I have done for you. It is all about Salvator Mundi, the Savior of the world. The book of Deuteronomy is a book full of rules and regulations. Thou shalt and thou shalt not, to use the old King James language. But today's passage is a little bit different. We don't get a lot of direct commandments. We get a lot of great descriptions. We get a lot of hopeful wonderings and imaginings of what this great land is going to look like. But we do get a few direct commandments, and they're pretty simple, and that's what I want for us to look at together today. Those commands are simply some things that we should do, and one thing that we should do, and a few things that we should not do. Let's begin looking at verse 11. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments. Take care that you do not forget. Later on, we hear this command again of do not forget. Now, if you are anything like me, if you are a human being like I am, at some point in your life, you have been the recipient of the command, don't forget to do something, or don't forget this event or that event. And if you are a human being, most likely at some point in time in your life, you have forgotten to do whatever you were told not to forget. It could be something as simple as taking out the garbage before going to work in the morning and forgetting that. And then there are, but then there are other ways that we forget also. Sometimes we grow complacent and we forget about the things that matter. We put other we forget what our priorities should be. We forget things, and we get in when we get in the habit of something, and we forget the value that's there. There are many different ways that we forget, and I think that's what Moses was getting at here, is that yes, we may forget once in a while to say the blessing over the food, but we all but we may remember that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. There are and be aware of that, but we may forget to thank God daily for what He has done for us. There are many different ways that we forget, and that's why God reminds us over and over in this book and in today's passage, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where I am in this story. When I was in college, one of my best friends, and still one of my best friends, is a guy named John. And there was one time during our college years that John forgot my birthday. And I was so hurt because I said, it's my birthday, this is my special day, and my good friend forgot it. Now, all credit to John, he did remember later that he forgot, and he apologized, but still, the damage was done. He had, well, temporary damage, I didn't hold it against him, obviously, but he did forget my birthday. Well, the years go by, we graduate from college, and we both join, Facebook is invented, we join Facebook, we're friends on Facebook, and on the 18th day of a certain month, it popped up on my Facebook feed that it was John's birthday. And I kind of said, wait a second. No, I called John yesterday. His birthday's the 17th. Facebook has it wrong. So I called John and said, did you know Facebook has the wrong birthday for you? And he laughed and he said, no, Facebook has the right birthday. And I said, I thought your birthday was the 17th. I've always thought your birthday was the 17th. And he said, no, it's always been the 18th. You just didn't know which day it was. So we forgot in a different way. And that is just a reminder to us that we all forget in different ways. Some of us may be better at remembering some things than others. But what God is telling us here is that you're forgetful. It's going to be easy for you to neglect and to forget what all the good that has happened because you are entering into this abundant life of living with the as saved children because of the Savior of the world. But God, that's one of the reasons that we do study Scripture. It's one of the reasons that Scripture is often repetitive because God does not want us to forget that the bounty that we celebrate came from His hand, that all the good that we have in this life has come from God. And He wants us to remember as well that we are debtors to something that we cannot pay. We are recipients of a grace that we cannot return. And like our ancestors, the Israelites, we are still wandering wanderers searching for a stability in this world that we cannot create. Because God is saying to us in today's passage, beginning in verse 12, that all of these good things are going to happen. You will eat your fill. You will build fine houses and live in them. And then three times we are told about the good things in life multiplying for us. And when we get caught in the good, when we get in the cycle of really good things happening, it is easy to forget that we are sinners saved by grace. It is easy for us to forget that God has delivered us from so much, that our ancestors were wandering wanderers just like we are, and we are in need of a safe place. We are in need of stability that we can't create on our own, but that we must depend on God to give to us. If you look with me in verses 14 and then again in verse 17, there are two commandments that God gives that go together. The first is, then do not exalt yourself, here it is again, forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Do not exalt yourself. And then in verse 17, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. Friends, one of the greatest lies we can tell ourselves is that all the blessings we have in life, we did it on our own. Yes, we have to be participants in what God brings to us. We have to participate in what God is doing in this world. But we are not self. But what we are talking about here, this kind of blessing, the celebration of the bounty that God gives to us, is something that we cannot create on our own. It's not something that we earn on our own. And we must not be exalting ourselves and giving ourselves all the credit for the good that happens in our life, because we are recipients of a debt we cannot pay, and we are wandering wanderers who cannot create that place of stability on our own. We all came from a place of poverty. We all come from a place of wandering and wandering. And everything that we have to celebrate is a gift from the hand of Almighty God. And God is telling us here, not only do not forget, but also do not think of yourself too highly. Remember where you came from, which leads us to the third and most important commandment. We've been talking a lot about what not to do. Thou shalt not forget. You shall not forget. But look with me in our final verse today, verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. Remember the Lord your God. The commandments are quite simple, friends. Take care not to forget what God has done. Do not think of yourself too highly. And remember the Lord your God. Not so much all that God has done for you, but just remember the Lord your God. A very simple way to do that, I've shared this with the staff in staff meeting on Thursday morning, is when you move from one room to the next, if you are entering or exiting a building or you're getting in and out of your car, look at that threshold, look at that crossing place as an opportunity to stop and breathe. Or let's see it as an opportunity to stop and give thanks. Stop and remember God's blessing in your life. So often we just move from one thing to another, from one task to another, and that's where the forgetting begins. The forgetting begins when we get caught in a rut, when we get caught in a routine that begins to control us. But the Thanksgiving holiday and this week and these texts are an opportunity for us to slow down and look for ways that we might remember. Search for ways that we won't forget, and little post-it notes that we can post in our lives. And like I said, when you cross a threshold, when you enter one door or exit another door, any physical reminder like that, see it as an opportunity to stop and celebrate God's bounty, to stop and give thanks. Another way in which we remember, and again, keep in mind, friends, that word remember is what Paul used when he talked about the Lord's Supper. Remember what our Lord Jesus taught us, that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Those words that we hear every time we come to the Lord's table remind us of what is important. We must take time out of our busy schedules. We must take time to pause to remember what matters, to remember, as Deuteronomy tells us today, the Lord our God. And in order to remember, we must not forget. And another way in which all that God has done, but another way that we can live remembrance, not just speaking remembrance. Yes, we can make gratitude lists. We can find a place like walking in and out of a door to give thanks. But another thing that Scripture commands us in remembering the Lord our God, we must not forget the poor among us. Liz Theoharis, is a Presbyterian minister who wrote a book recently called Always With Us, What Jesus Really Said About the Poor. And I bring this up because she talks a good bit in this book about the book of Deuteronomy. And she lays out for us the fact that Deuteronomy is a book of laws and codes that are not just meant to make us holy individuals before God, but the book of Deuteronomy and all of its laws and all of its codes, which are the most cited in the New Testament of any Old Testament book, is all about God's desire to eliminate poverty and inequality on the earth. The rules of Deuteronomy around Sabbath, around the year of Jubilee, around the offerings that are brought to the courts of the Lord, all of these rules of Deuteronomy are not just to make people feel better about themselves or to give thanks to God, but along with that are these rules that are meant to help move poverty out of the community. Ways in which people help each other to grow and to lean on each other, to support each other. And that is something that is near and dear to the heart of God. One of the first things Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 is, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. He goes on to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst in spirit and for righteousness. And God is reminding us through Deuteronomy, through this passage today, that throughout time, that we are all an impoverished people. We all came from a place of poverty. Jesus was born into a poor family in the village of Nazareth. And we are never to become so caught up in all that God, in all of our blessings and all the bounty, that we forget, we must not forget that where all of us came from. And we must work as God's people, not just to give thanks to God with our worship and our tithes and our offerings, but also with our actions and how we are working to help bring food to the hungry, to help those who don't have enough to learn to make enough and to provide enough. All of this mattered to Jesus. And because it mattered to Salvator Mundi, the Savior of the world, it should matter to us as well. And we can begin giving thanks. We can begin that celebration. We can begin not forgetting the Lord our God and all that He has done for us by remembering what matters. Remembering not all of the numbers associated with the painting or even the artist of the painting, but remembering the subject of why we're here. And that is that Jesus Christ is among us. He is with us. He has saved us. Will we forget that now and then? Will we go through our days unaware of all that Jesus has done? Yes, there will be times we will forget. But today's passage reminds us, God reminds us today, to find ways to remember. And not just to remember by giving thanks, but to remember by reaching out to one another in thanksgiving. For we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And the Savior of the world is reaching out His hands to us saying, come unto Me, all you who desire to take up your cross and follow after Me. Let us do so. Let us take up the cause of the Savior of the world. And even as we see God's blessing, and as we see God's blessings pour into our lives, may we not forget where we have come from, and may we remember all the good that is ahead. Let us remember, friends, most of today's passage is written in the future tense of what is coming, of what is going to be ahead. Blessing and abundance are ahead for children of God. So let us not take it for granted. Let us celebrate. Let us give thanks. And let us remember the great Creator who has given this all to us. For He is the one who lives and reigns with the Son and the Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen.
And worldly as a news reporter with a subscription to Little Passports. Explore a new country each month and packages arrive featuring faraway places. In your first few months, get a real amethyst from Brazil and a sushi eraser set from Japan. Find special offers for Fresh Air listeners at littlepassports.com/fresh.
This is Fresh Air Weekend. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Father Greg Boyle, has worked with former gang members in L.A. for over 30 years. He's the founder of Homeboy Industries, which was created to help former gang members and people transitioning out of prison create stable lives and stay out of gangs. Instead of Father Greg trying to convince business owners to hire young people who are at risk, he created jobs for them through Homeboy Industries. Homeboy is a series of businesses, including a restaurant, a bakery, a cafe, farmers markets, created with these people so they can have on-the-job training. The employees come from rival gangs, so they have to put aside their distrust and hatred of each other. Homeboy also provides other job training and social service programs. It's now the largest gang intervention and reentry program in the U.S. Back in the 80s and 90s, Father Greg spent a lot of time on the